Chapter 15. Life is Beautiful. During the following year, Kay Adams Corleone gave birth to a baby boy, and Mo Green was found shot dead at the Hollywood home of his actress girlfriend. Albert Neri did not appear in New York for another month after the shooting, having taken a vacation in the Caribbean. He was welcomed back with a smile from Michael and told he would have more responsibility, running a family gambling business on the east side of New York. Neri was pleased, feeling he was being properly rewarded for a job well done. Michael Corleone had been careful to think of all the possibilities. He was patient, hoping to have the whole year to prepare. But there was something he had not planned for, and it happened in the most surprising way. For it was the Godfather himself who failed Michael Corleone. One sunny morning, when the women were at church, Don Vito Corleone stood in his garden wearing large gray trousers, a blue shirt, and a brown hat. He loved looking after his garden. He loved the sight of it in the mornings. It brought back his memories of Sicily 60 years ago, before the terror and the sadness of his father's death. The Don was busily watering his tomatoes before the day got too hot. Quite suddenly, it felt as if the sun had come close to his head and the air was filled with pieces of dancing gold. Michael's older boy came running through the garden just as the pain in the Don's chest made him fight to breathe. Then, he fell forward onto the earth. The boy ran to get Michael, who came and knelt down next to his father. The Don smelled the garden and saw the gold in front of his eyes, and he whispered with difficulty,
"Life is so beautiful."
He died, holding the hand of the son he most loved. The funeral was royal. The five families sent their Dons and Capo regimes, as did the Tessio and Clemenza families. Johnny Fontaine came and told the newspapers that Vito Corleone was his godfather and the finest man he ever knew. After the funeral, people came to the house on the mall to see the Don resting in his coffin. Amerigo Bonasera had never done finer work. He had prepared his old friend for his funeral as lovingly as a mother prepares a bride for her wedding. It was nearly 10 years since there had been so many people at the house. Nearly 10 years since the wedding of Connie Corleone and Carlo Rizzi. Outside the gates were the newspapermen and photographers, as well as a small truck containing FBI men. Michael Corleone spent most of the day in the library with Kay, Tom Hagen, and Freddie. People were brought in to see him and say how sorry they were. Michael received them all politely. Then, Clemenza and Tessio came to join them, and Michael served them a drink. They spoke a bit about business. Michael told them that the mall and all its houses were to be sold at an enormous profit thanks to the Don's great business planning. They understood that the whole empire would be in the West, that the Corleone family would sell off all its business operations in New York. On the morning after the funeral, all the most important people met again in the library. There were the two Capo regimes, Clemenza and Tessio, Rocco Lampone, Carlo Rizzi, Tom Hagen, and Albert Neri, who tried to stay close to Michael, lighting his cigar and mixing his drink. The death of the Don was a terrible thing for the family. Without him, it seemed that half their negotiating strength was gone against the Barzinis and Tattaglias. Everyone knew this, and there was tension in the air as they waited for what Michael would say. In their eyes, he was not the new Don, because he had not yet earned the title. Michael waited until the drinks had been served. Then he said quietly, "I just want to tell everybody here that I understand how you feel. I know you all respected my father, but now you have to worry about yourselves and your families. Some of you will wonder how this is going to affect our plans. Well, the answer to that is nothing. Everything goes on as before." Clemenza shook his huge head.
"The Bazzinis and Tattaglias are going to move on us real hard, Mike. You have to fight or sit down with them."
Everyone noticed that Clemenza had not called Michael Don. "Let's wait and see what happens," Michael said. "Let them break the peace first." Tessio spoke up in his soft voice.
"They already have, Mike. They raided 2 bookmakers in Brooklyn this morning. Soon, I won't have anywhere to do business."
"Just wait," Michael said. "And that's what I want to say to all of you. Give me a few weeks to sort things out, to see what way the wind blows. Then I'll make the best deal I can for everybody here." He ignored their surprise as Albert Neri showed them out. Then Michael said sharply, "Tom, stay a few minutes." Hagen went to the window that faced the mall. He waited until he saw the men walk through the gate, then turn back to Michael.
"Have you got all the political connections sorted out?"
Michael shook his head regretfully. "Not all. I needed a few more months. But I've got all the judges and some of the more important politicians. The Corleone family is a lot stronger than anybody thinks. Tom, I didn't want you to be here when things started. But now the Don is dead, I'm going to need you for a few more weeks. You'd better call Vegas and talk to your wife." Hagen said thoughtfully,
"How do you think they'll come at you?"
Michael shrugged. "The Don instructed me. It will be set up through somebody close who I won't suspect." Tom smiled.
"Someone like me?"
Michael smiled back. "You're not Sicilian. They won't trust you. They won't go to you. Or Neri, because he used to be a policeman. No, it will be Clemenza, Tessio, or Carlo Rizzi."
"I'm betting it's Carlo," Hagen said softly.
"We'll see," Michael said. "It won't be long." It happened the next morning, while Hagen and Michael were having breakfast together. Michael took a phone call in the library, and when he came back, he said to Hagen, "It's all set up. I'm going to meet Barzini a week from now, to make a new peace deal now the Don is dead." Hagen asked,
"Who phoned you? Who made the contact?"
They both knew that whoever in the Corleone family had made the contact had betrayed them. Michael gave Hagen a regretful smile.
"Tessio," he said.
They ate the rest of the breakfast in silence. Over coffee, Michael said,
"Tessio did what seems to be the smart thing. He sets me up for Barzini, he'll be given the Corleone family businesses, and the war ends. If he stays with us, he gets killed and his business taken from him. He thinks he can't win."
"And is he right?"
Michael sighed.
"It looks bad, but my political connections are worth 10 regimes. I think I've got most of my father's political power in my hands now, but I'm the only one who really knows that."
Hagen said,
"Have you agreed to the meeting with Barzini?"
"Yeah," Michael said. "A week from tonight, in Brooklyn, on Tessio's ground where I'll be safe." He laughed.
Hagen said,
"Be careful before then."
For the first time, Michael was cold with Hagen. "I don't need a conciliary to give me that kind of advice," he said.